I'll certainly say amen to that song. I think I could probably conclude every lesson with that. And I do conclude every lesson with that, actually, about our Lord and Savior. He's the answer for everything. But unfortunately, the world does not agree with that. And some that claim to be Christians don't live as if they believe that. And typically when we're in an assembly like this, I'm talking to Christians. I'm not talking to the world unless they happen to listen to it on the internet. But as we talk about things, we certainly want to remind ourselves that we need to live a life that's pleasing to God. With that said, though, I'm afraid sometimes that just like in the times of Christ, we have a situation where if we don't watch it, we give the impression to people that we don't do anything wrong. And this has always been a problem for me. I can remember years ago a discussion about how long can you go without sinning. And I was thinking, as soon as you say that, you just got into sin, because otherwise we wouldn't even need to be talking to Jesus or talking through Jesus to God if we didn't have sin in our life. And somehow we think that as Christians, we actually practice what a lot of people teach, is that we don't really do anything that would separate us from God as a Christian, as we cannot seemingly fall from grace, but we do. And that was a lot. If you think about the time that Jesus spent on earth, a great deal of His time that we see Him talking, He's talking to people who thought they were okay, who thought that God would just accept them on the basis of what they were doing. When we're thinking about this, there's a word that is used in the Bible, and it's not used much in the world today because it really doesn't matter, and it's the word sin. And you've heard people point it out that right in the middle of that, there's three little letters that the word I is there. And unfortunately, we all get involved in it, and we can't point the finger at someone else. That's why in Galatians 6, verse 1, he talks about, "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one, considering yourself lest you also be tempted." That's the kind of person you want to come to, is realizing that they too, you know, can completely fall. But that in their lives, they are constantly having this struggle with sin. That has been a struggle from the time God created human beings. It'll always be a struggle for people. The sad part is that I'm going to talk to an audience today, and sad to say, some will not do anything about their sin. They just won't do anything about it. We want to talk about it from various ways, but really I kind of titled this just Addressing Sin. And when I think about sin, I think, well, you know, it's so easy to sin. We can sin by just not doing anything. We can sin by doing something. I mean, it is easy. But the thing about sin that I really would like to talk about is that it actually takes an effort to stay away from it. It takes a lot of effort on our part. But when we think about it, the whole Word of God is written to me personally. I talk about this a lot. It's trying to get me to look at my life, but it's trying to make me, more importantly, not beat myself to death over it, but just simply say He's made provision for it, which we'll talk about at the end. And that's the beauty of this subject matter. If not making provision for sin, from Adam and Eve on, everyone was doomed, except for those that were innocent, to eternal damnation. There is no forgiveness of sin without the shedding of blood. But it wasn't just any kind of blood. So it took the blood of Jesus Christ, which goes back to the song we just sing. So when I think about that, God's not going to tolerate sin. Now, we can hope that He does. We can live a life and we can say, I hope He does. But He won't. Now, we're going to talk about sin, though, maybe in a little bit different way. What I'm going to do today, I'm going to ask you to please just write the Scriptures down. I'm not going to read them. I'm going to put them up. Give you time if you want to write them down. And then I'm going to talk from those Scriptures. I will do these first three. Romans 3:23, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Dick said, I just went against what I was going to say. Isaiah 59:2, but your iniquities. Now, he's not talking to just the world. He's talking about those Jews that should have been following him, your iniquities have separated between you and your God. And your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. What kind of sin would do that? Well, it's a sin where they didn't recognize and didn't want to do anything about it. Other than that, God will take care of it. And that's something we need to recognize. Ezekiel 14, 13 and 14, Ezekiel says this a couple times about these three men. Son of man, when a land sins against me by persistent unfaithfulness. Now we've gone from the land of Israel, but he's talking about just any group of people as a whole. I will stretch out my hand against it. I will cut off its supply of bread, send famine to it, and cut off man and beast from it. And he goes on to say, and even if these three men, Noah, Daniel, and Job. Now Daniel was alive when Ezekiel was writing this. It tells you what kind of man Daniel was in God's sight. Were in it, they would deliver only themselves by their righteousness. Now I got a question for you. These three wonderful men, when we look at them, I can remember this one. At the end of his life, he was 80-something years old, and as soon as he realized they're going to be delivered, what does he do? He prays to God about his sin. That's what he does. He understands that. This man right here, what does he do? When he recognizes what he's done with God, what does he do? I repent before you. What's this man do? He does the same thing. These are not sinless men, but these are men who work righteousness. Why? Because they're constantly talking with God. So what is sin? 1 John 3:4 says it is lawlessness. All sin is lawlessness. That is, you're not working inside of law. You're not understanding what authority is. We talk about authority. Just read what he says. Do it. That's law. And that's the way he meant for it to be. It is unrighteousness, according to 1 John 5:17. All sin is unrighteousness. It's not what is right, is a simplistic way of looking at it. It is who determines that? Me, you, no, God. In Hebrews 10:26, but if you sin willfully after you become knowledge of truth, it can be a willfully staying in sin. That's what he's talking about. He's not talking about that we commit a willful act. All Christians have willfully sinned against God. I will guarantee it. And we'll talk about that. But this type of sin he's talking about is where you won't do anything about it. You just stay in it. James 4:17, to him that knows to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. If you know you need to be doing something, that's correct and proper. And I use this with a lot of things that I talk to people about. If you know what's good, who determined what's good? God determined it according to Ephesians 2 verse 10. He predetermined those things. In James 1, 14 and 15, sin when it is, or lust when it's conceived, bringeth forth sin. When our lust gets to the point that we go ahead and act on it, it brings about sin. That's just a few. So when thinking about that, where are we with this? Well, similar words are used in 2 John 9, Romans 4, 5, Romans 5, 15 and 8 through 18, Philippians 2, 15, James 1, 21, 2 Peter 1, 4, 2 Timothy 2, 19. Now this is just a few. So we can understand how critical it is to God that number one, we take care of our sins, regardless of what situation we're in. We're going to talk about two particular situations we can be in. But those words, trespass, we understand what that means. Go on somebody else's property and do something when you're not supposed to be there. We know that. When we get off of God's property, we're trespassing somewhere else. We're in the sin. It's an encroachment or an intrusion. To transgress, some have used it to go beyond, to pass beyond. Go beyond the limit. That was within those scriptures that I used, these words. An offense. That's a violation or breaking of a social or moral rule. A fault. We know what the San Andreas fault is. It's major. It can create a real major problem. Well, when we have a fault, a little different, it's a misdeed. It's a flaw. It's a failing. Rather than man being overtaken in a fault. Immorality. It's evilness. Not following moral or right behavior. You see what we're talking about with this? Why would we teach a subject on it? We know this, right? We know this. What about the young people? They really understand the seriousness of doing what's wrong or not doing what's right. You see, some people won't do things wrong, but they won't do what's right. They know what's good, but they won't do it. Wickedness, causing injury or harm, troublesome, roguish, where we don't use much anymore, right? Corruption, it's a perversion of integrity, it's depravity. Iniquity, a violation of right or duty. And there are people that will tell us,
You can't transgress. You can't trespass. You can't create an offense. You can't be in fault. You can't be immoral. You can't be wicked. You can't be corrupt, and you can't commit iniquity. You can do whatever you want to do.
So we've got two sides of this. We can either do anything we want to, or there is rules about how we live. Now, when I say this, it's not a book of rules. This is a book of just explaining to us, if you live this way, you'll have a good life. He's doing it for our good. What is sin? Well, let's break it down. It's simple in 1 John 2, 15 through 17. So lust of the flesh, lust of the eye, and the pride of life. And we read that, and we read it, and we look at it, and we go, yep, got that one. And no, we don't. This is everything about our life. Every one of us has natural desires of the flesh. Every one of us has natural desires of the eye. Every one of us should have somewhat feeling good about ourselves in this life. So when do we step over into sin in these? When we violate what we talked about earlier, all of those things. When we are told, if you go beyond, if you don't do what I say, if you don't do good, you violate it. Otherwise, you don't. The truth is, I can have some desires of the flesh, and they're okay. If I exercise them properly. I can have some desires of the eye, and they're okay if I exercise them properly. I can have some pride in what I'm doing in life, if I do it properly, only within the confines. Now, sin can be a couple different types in our lives as Christians. One is, it can be just short-lived. As a Christian, I can do or not do something, and I can just turn around to God, and I'm say, I'm sorry about that. And He says, then if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And that's walking in the light. That's a continual walking in life. How many times a day do I pray about my sins? I pray all the time about my sin. I don't know about the rest of you, but I want to be right before God. I don't set up, okay, I only need to do this once a week. I do it. I can remember in the Lord's church when the first thing out of someone leading in prayer's mouth was, forgive us. Why? Wow, we haven't done anything wrong. Well, sure. Let's ask that first, because how do we know? Like Daniel said, forgive. Forgive us, Father. We want to get out of this situation. We're in the bondage. I want out of bondage. I want people back to Israel. Or it can be continuous. He talks about in 1 John 5 about prayer, and he said God will answer any prayer. Any prayer. He'll answer it. He doesn't have a problem with that. Whatever we ask of Him, He'll do it. But He said, I'm going to tell you when He will not answer. If anyone sees his brother sinning a sin which does not lead to death, he'll ask, and he'll give him life for those who commit sin not leading to death. But there is sin leading to death. I do not say that he should pray about that, and then he goes into all unrighteous sin. So he's trying to make a point to us that there are people that we look at their lives, they come to us and they say, would you pray for my sin? We go, we can't. You're living in it. You're not getting out of it. I can't ask God for that. What kind of sin would that be? Well, you can think of a lot of them. I don't need to get into all of this, but in Hebrews 10:26, he talks about willful sin, where a person just willfully gets into sin, stays in sin, will not get out of sin. So, these are critical. In a Christian's life, we can have both of those, or one or both. I would argue that most of us, I would hope, fall in this category, that we do something or we don't do something, we just turn to God and we ask His forgiveness, and guess what He does? He forgives us. We don't have some right or some R-I-T-E or some method other than just asking God. Now, I can ask my brothers and sisters to pray for me. I can talk to them about that, James 5:16, certainly. Confess your faults one to another and pray you one for another that you may be healed. I understand that. I don't have to. Nothing there says I have to. What it says is sometimes it's good, though, to have those others pray for us when we are. And I've asked other people to pray for me. How can we sin? Romans 1, 26 through 32. Galatians, just a few places. I'm telling you, just a few places where he lists sins. Young people, I want you to think about these seriously. Older people, I want you to think about these seriously. I don't want us to just go over these and go, I'm good. 2 Timothy 3, 1 through 7. Proverbs 6, 16 through 19. Colossians 3, 5 through 9. And some of the sins we can do with our mouths. It is so bad. Our mouths are so bad. Our speech is so bad. That the warning in James 3 is that it is can change the way a ship goes, destroy a forest. He's making that comparison. So you think God isn't concerned about how we use our mouths? One really bad way is false teaching. It's just saying to someone something that we have no right to say to them according to God's Word. It is lying. It's where I will not tell the truth. Small, big, doesn't matter. Just not going to tell the truth. Well, why am I hurt someone? Don't matter. Truth. Always truth. There is no ever an excuse for lying. Oh, well, in the Old Testament, they lied. No excuse. You cannot go anywhere and have an excuse to lie. Abe, he said, it'll do you harm, Abe. Gossip never does any good. Never, ever. I don't care. And we can argue all we want to. I was just commenting. I was just telling about something. I don't care. As a Christian, we don't need to be involved in it. Tailbearing. Same, similar type of a thing. It's going on with something we don't even know if it's true or not. We're just going to tell somebody else because we heard it. Filthy talk. What? Wait a second. Now, what's that anymore, right? I mean, we hear these words all the time. Well, we know what it is to talk filthy. We understand what words are not to be used, don't we, or do we? Well, maybe we need to think about it. I will argue this from the same point I argue a lot of things. If you have a question about it, don't use it. You've got enough words. I told someone one time, I said, if not for the fact that you had to speak filthy language, I don't know what words you'd use. It's about 9/10 of your vocabulary. What happened to us? We cannot talk to one another. We have more words in the English language than any language in the world. But we can't talk without talking filthy. A whisperer. That's the idea of going behind other people's back and not talking in front of them, telling things. Being malicious with it. You know what? That person hurt me. I'm going to get them. I'm going to get them. I'm tired, sick and tired of this, and I'm going to get them. Deceit. Same idea of lying, except this time I just don't fully tell what I need to just to make you think something different. Oh, we've never done any of this, have we, as Christians? Huh. Boasters. And when he's talking about this, he's certainly talking about the idea of us going way beyond what we should. A friend of mine, his name was Brad Roach. And I told him one time, I said, your parents must have been prophets. Now, I'm not picking on the man. I loved him dearly. But his name was Bragg, and that's all he ever did. Brag about his family. And I told him one time, I said, they must have been prophets. Blasphemy, that's when we just speak evil against God or against deity or against anything we don't know that is in the heavenly realm. Slander, that's, again, all these words. Sowing discord, all these words, all these things. Why? I would never engage in that, would you? How about thought? What about my thoughts? Got them under control, right? I never think anything wrong, ever. Do you? Huh. Never have any lust. Lust is when I go beyond, right? That's when I go beyond normal desire. That's when I want something I have no right to. Never. Covetousness, that's when I want what you have. That's a type of lust. All of these are going to be in some respects, but that's in my mind. It's not right that they should have that. I want it too. Boy, we have a world full of that, don't we? Hey, if you've got it, hand it down to me. It's mine. Hatred. Never ever let hatred enter my heart, do you? Never. Well, I just never do. And I know y'all know that I'm not telling the truth right now, right? Things hit us as Christians just like they do anybody else, folks. We don't need to lie to ourselves about this. Jealousy. I'm never jealous. I'm never envious, are you? I'm never selfish. I never want to be the one that gets... I've never been unthankful of you. I've always thanked people exactly the way that I should, and I've always thanked God, right? Right? Haughty. Just, man, I'm going to tell you what. I am just so much, I'm head and shoulders above everybody else, right? No, never been that way. Same way with pride, being prideful. These are in our minds. We have got to be careful and control our thoughts and partiality. Ever hit you? You ever been partial? You ever look at someone on the basis of something other than what they're actually doing? Really? Well, these are just some things. How about our actions? Murder. Well, I've never killed anyone, but let's go back to hate for just a moment. If it's in our thought, right? But in action, I've never done it. What if you had a chance to? Drunkenness. Fornication. This includes all types of sexual immorality. I have said from way back, once we accepted immoral sex between heterosexuals, it just moves to the next level and the next level, and I'm talking levels going down, being debased, worse and worse and worse in some respects. You see, fornication is any sexual immorality. It can be a wrongful marriage. It can be a lot of things. All of this is within this word, fornication. Adultery is actually in the word fornication. Now, adultery is used separate in the New Testament when he was trying to make a point about those that were married. Idolatry. The worship of other things. Putting those first is all it means. When we're talking about worship, sometimes we have this idea that it's this big word of, you know, and some people even go to the point that the only thing it ever means is bowing down before something. That's not true. If that was true, then being a covetous person is idolatry, and I don't go and bow down before those things, but in reality, I am. In my personal life, I am doing that. I am worshiping something more than I am God. Strife, where I create problems every chance I get. Hypocrisy, where I speak one thing and do something else. Ever done any of these? Disobedient to parents. Immodest clothing. And that varies from anything from taking too much off. Summertime's coming and people are going to be tempted to take off a lot of clothing. Or other times, for show, wanting to be the one that everyone looks at. Christians don't do that, do we? Gluttony, where I go way beyond what I need to eat. Ever do that? Now, how about these sins? Let's say we've never done any of those that I just showed as a Christian, ever. How about omission? Matthew 23:23, James 2:10, just a few. 2 Thessalonians 1:8, Matthew 5:3-9, Galatians 5:22-23, 2 Timothy 2:15, Hebrews 5:12-14, Hebrews 12:28, Colossians 3:12-15. If you want any of these later, you can find them. You don't even need me to give them to you. You know all of these. Jesus talked to them about they had done the small things, the Jews, but there wasn't justice in their life. They weren't just people. They measured things in a wrongful way. Really? So I leave that out of my life. I'm just not going to do that. Or, I don't have mercy. Well, of course I have mercy toward others. Well, unless that person now if they do the right thing, wrong thing against me, now wait just a second. No, mercy quit. It's right there. Faith. You know what the number one sin is in the Bible? It's a shock, isn't it? It's when I omit this. It's what he says in Hebrews 12, verse 1. The truth is, what we fail in is, it's just a lack of faith. You remember what he said to Moses? You didn't believe me back there at the rock. You don't believe me. You see, I don't have the right kind of faith. How about my love? Is it where it needs to be? Is my love perfected? That's what he says it needs to be. So, has anybody in this room got their love perfected? You see, what I'm talking about sin, let's don't be haughty. Let's don't start thinking we've got this all together. I'll tell you what we have in a few minutes. It's not that. It's something much more important. All of these. Do I admit them? Know God, obey God, meek, being meek in my life, pure in heart. Am I pure all the time in my heart, in my mind? Am I a peacemaker? Do I hunger and thirst for righteousness, or I just do it when I'm in the assembly or in a class, and other times I don't even bother meditating on God's Word at all? If I hungered and thirsted after righteousness the way I hunger and thirst after the physical food, I do that 3 times a day. Sometimes snacks in between, and sometimes more than that, don't you? Normally. There's been times I haven't eaten that much, but how many times I hunger and thirst for God's Word like that? How about being prayerful? How about being joyful? Well, hey, I'm a happy person except everything's going wrong in my life. Come on now. You can't expect me to be happy. For the joy that was set before Jesus, he went to the cross. Could you be happy knowing that you were going to the cross? Being kind. Oh, I'm kind all the time. Ask Linda. Being gentle. Having self-control. Being selfless. Being long-suffering. Being diligent to study. Knowledgeable. Wise. Reverent. Forgiving. Forbearing. Have humility. Providing for the family. Practicing righteousness. Just things that... Do I do these perfectly? Do I have all of these down pat? No. I'm going to be the first one, and I've confessed my sins before you many a time from the pulpit. I can do that because I sin. I leave things out in my life, and I don't do things that are wrong. So why do we sin when we know that sin separates us from God? Why do we sin when we know it creates problems with others? In Philippians 4:2, there's two women there in that church that aren't getting along. In 2 Timothy 4:10, Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world. Just a couple of examples of where it creates problems with others. Sin destroys the soul. If a man gain the whole world and lose his own soul, what would a man give in exchange for soul? Why do I get into sin? What is it about it? And sin has consequences. Now, we can take away the eternal consequences, but sometimes we can't take away the immediate consequences of sin. And this is the beautiful part of this. So I want you young people, up through the old people, to remind ourselves one more time today. It isn't us that does something about sin. We've got this in our mind that it's me. I can take care of my sin. I cannot take care of my sin. I have to go to the one who can. What happens is, what's God going to do about it? He's going to forgive it, he said. He'll grant pardon. He'll cancel a debt, according to Ephesians 1-7, through his Son. He'll remit, or it's an act of remission, that is a discharge or release from penalty. I cannot release myself from that penalty. Hebrews 9:22 and Hebrews 10:18. He's the one that releases us from sin. He won't remember it against us, according to Hebrews 8:12. What will he do about it? Aren't you happy now? You see, I could have a frown on my face as I read all those other things because I realize I'm guilty of this. I mean, a lot of those things. I'll be the first to admit it. It doesn't bother me to admit that. It's a struggle in this life. I would hope that I'm more mature than I was 20 years ago, but that doesn't make me sinless. I would hope that I'm more mature than I was 40 years ago, but that does not make me sinless. He redeems us. He buys us back out of it. He pays it off, according to Hebrews 9:15. This is the key, 1 Corinthians 15:56 and 57. The sting of death is sin. You want to be separated from God eternally, stay in sin. And the strength of sin is the law, but thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. So how did that all happen? Well, the Lamb of God took away the sins of the world. And as a Christian, I am not advocating here this morning that it's okay to sin because I sin. It is horrible that I sin. But as a Christian, I have such a blessing. You know, when I was immersed in water, God took away every sin that I ever had prior to that time. He just washed them away. Isn't that a beautiful thought? Did I have to get up and confess every one of those? No! Matter of fact, that confession is not about that at all. That confession is a confession of Jesus Christ as the Son of God. Did I have to mentally repent of everything I'd done? I don't even know at the time that I knew everything that I had done. I had not studied God's Word like I should and didn't know a lot of it like I do today. So no, that was just an act of penitence, turning away from sin and turning toward Christ. How about my faith? Well, that was faith in Him. That was faith in Him that I believed that His Son died for my sins on the cross. So as I was immersed, I went into his burial room and into his operating room, if you will, in Colossians 2. And I believed by faith that he took away my sins. So I didn't have to worry about them all. I don't ever have to worry about those again. I don't have to. You can bring those up all you want to, and I'll just look in your face and laugh at you because they're done. But what about as a Christian? Well, I need to stay away from it. There's not a day goes by that we're not tempted. And we've been tempted ever since we've been adults and understood what we were doing. Don't tell me you haven't. Don't any of you sit there and go, I've got it down. We don't. That's why we need Him. If we didn't need Him, if I could do it, I don't need Jesus Christ. But I need Him every day of my life, all the time. See, we're born with natural desires that we can fulfill in a way that's not simple. Isn't that amazing? But we choose to go outside of that. I made choices. I made some bad ones. If that's true, why do we sin? Why, if we can fulfill all the desires we need to in a rightful way, why do we sin? Because we want to do what we want to do. We get some pleasure from it. We think for that moment, I enjoyed that. But with sin, there's consequences. Some of them are temporary. Some linger. And some can be eternal. And I'm going to tell you the scary one's this one right here. If I don't take care of that, it'll be eternal. If I don't acknowledge it to God, if I don't go to Him as a Christian and ask for His forgiveness, and I should thank God every day for His long-suffering nature, even though I might not have it, what did it? Right here. The body and blood. This sacrifice. When that blood was separated from that body and that body died on the cross, it took care of my sins. That's what I needed. I couldn't do it. The ultimate sacrifice was given for me. So I need to continually go to God in faith. I'm not ashamed to say it. I ask Him to forgive me all the time. I want His forgiveness. There's times I don't even know what I've done. I'll be honest with you. I go through life. Did I just say something that I shouldn't? So it sounds like I'm usually not honest with you. I want to tell you that I go through life knowing that there's times I might hurt other people or I do things. But if you're not a Christian, and I don't know why I put Christians, you're still in sin. I would be a liar if I told you any different. I'd be smoothing it over, but I'm going to tell you what you can do today. You can get rid of every bit of it. You can have a right relationship with God. Don't have to be remembered anymore. Ever again. To those that have sins removed, we need to enter to have them removed, we need to enter God's operating room today in faith, repenting, confessing Christ, and being immersed in water for the remission of sins. I beg you, please obey today. Would you please stand?